Welcome and thanks for tuning in. I'm Deb Ruggiero, host and creator of the radio show and podcast, Rhode Island's Amazing Women, highlighting women who make a difference in all walks of life. Hey, Rosie the Riveter, probably the most iconic image of a working woman, aimed at recruiting women workers for the defense industry back in WW2. Today, though, more and more women are trained and working in the trades. Well, we're going to learn more about that today. My guest is Anita Bruno, who started Rhode Island Women in the Trades, a 501c3 in 2019. The mission is to educate, organize, and train more women as tradeswomen for employment in the construction industry. It's economic empowerment to create these skilled tradeswomen and to help build and maintain Rhode Island. Anita is a 17-year union carpenter. She began her career in Brooklyn, New York at Local 926 after graduating from non-traditional employment for women, a female pre-apprenticeship program in New York City. But then she transferred from New York to Rhode Island Carpenters Union 330. And with the support of her local, she organized the Rhode Island Carpenters local chapter of Sisters in the Brotherhood for Carpenter Women. How about that? Anita is a working mother, two children, and thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today, Anita. Welcome.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate being invited to be here. Thank you.
So how do women learn about the trades, carpentry, construction? I mean, these are pretty non-traditional jobs, but they can be very lucrative careers, right?
Absolutely. Let's say a carpenter right now, my field in the union at a journey rate is at $45 an hour. And that's just your bring home pay. That's not your benefit package. So you have that package on top of that. So it is very lucrative. You have chances for overtime and leadership opportunities. But the sad thing is, or just the lacking thing thus far, is that it's not something that's presented to women often. I don't know if you think back when you went to high school, but when I think back, I went to classical and they sent me to type in class.
And that or home ec.
And that's not where I wanted to be. And I didn't know it then, because it's not like trades was presented to me as a young woman. So I wasn't really aware of that until I went to Job Corps and went into welding. And so that kind of sparked my interest in working with my hands.
So how many women today learn about the trades, Anita?
Women today can learn about it. They can come to Rhode Island Women in the Trades. They can reach out to their local unions, find out about the Rhode Island Building Trades, different local unions, and kind of reach out to them. Most local unions have a website, but then how do you know what to look for, right? So there's pre-apprenticeship programs, again, Rhode Island Women in the Trades, there's Building Futures, there's Youth Build. If you're younger, and you can perhaps ask one of your teachers or guidance counselors about the CTE curriculum and the CTE schools. Providence has a Providence Career and Tech Academy, and it is a beautiful facility. If I was a young girl and I had the opportunity, I would have wanted to be in that weld shop. But they're not things that our families are pushing, and they're not things that our schools are pushing. So we have to take it upon ourselves to start to try to re-educate people and let them know that trades is a lucrative career. I know I'm a carpenter, 17 years, like you said, and I could build a house and a bridge, but I still need an electrician and I still need a plumber, right? I need a licensed electrician and a licensed plumber. So those are trades and skills that are hard to come by, kind of falling by the wayside, and they're needed.
How important is it for a woman, you know, to be confident in this kind of a career and capable of kind of taking on these roles? So it's not just knowing about it. It's saying that's something I really think I can do.
Yes. Oh, I want to say that could be a catch-22. Confidence could come from challenging yourself to do something like this. But as long as you like working with your hands, there's support out there and there's organizations like mine and other women that want to support, and just building it up and knowing that no matter what happens, payday is worth it.
Is there a lot of hostility from some of the men in the trades kind of resenting that a woman is on the job? And how do you handle that?
We call them cavemen or the Neanderthals, right? They're still in those old days when women are supposed to be barefoot and pregnant. So there's different ways you can laugh at them. You could give it back to them and say, you know, do you speak to your mother like that? Quite honest, it does still happen. And it is uncomfortable. And that's actually how I learned that harassment is not just sexual, right? Anything that's on the job to make you feel uncomfortable, that's harassment. And what can that can look like different forms, like you don't belong there, or always questioning your work, or I've had some sisters confide that people have kicked their work over. I've never had to deal with that. I've dealt with other microaggressions. But I do know women.
What do you do when that happens? I mean, how do you handle it? How do you respond? You said somebody who has just kicked your work over. I mean, that's pretty hostile.
You have to maintain your own dignity as a worker and know your worth. You have opportunities on certain job sites. If it's union, you can go to your steward and ask for your business agent help. But there's grievances you can file if it gets to that point. Usually you would hope that you can just have a conversation and let people know that that's not what you're supposed to do. Sometimes it's just about educating or re-educating.
Right. Sometimes communicating with somebody.
Yeah, sometimes just communicating with somebody.
Well, I always say a successful woman is one who can build a solid foundation with the bricks others have thrown at her. So there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for tuning in. I'm Deborah Giro. You can listen anytime to this podcast and all of your favorite streaming services, and also at the website, amazingwomenri.com. Karen Kay is our producer. And we're chatting now with Anita Bruno. As she mentioned, she's a 17-year union carpenter, and she's organized the Rhode Island Carpenters local chapter of Sisters in the Brotherhood for Carpenter Women. So what was the genesis, Anita, of you starting this local chapter for women carpenters?
In 2018, I attended a international Sisters in the Brotherhood conference out in Vegas. I heard from sisters across the nation going through some of the same microaggressions that I have went through. And I was at first relieved to know that other women around the nation were dealing with the same thing. And then I was saddened. And then I was angry. And so when I came back, I wanted to meet my fellow sisters. At the time, the Carpenters had 1,826 members, and we had 26 females, and four of them were retired. So out of the 20, some of them had moved away, Florida, Vermont, but some of them were still here. Not many were working. And none of us really had ever worked with each other in the field because there wasn't enough of us. So we didn't have any kind of solidarity or sisterhood. So I took the idea back from learning what they were doing in different states. And wanted to make sure that sisters knew they weren't alone, and mm-hmm. that we could have a safe space to have conversations and kind of empower and mentor each other. And that's how we did it. That was why.
How many women are there in the trades as carpenters, pipe fitters, you know, electricians? How many women do we have here in Rhode Island in the trades?
So I'm still working on the solid data. That's a good question. But the last time I had data in 2020, there was the 26 in the carpenters. Most trades respectively had about 30. At the time, the sheet metal didn't have any women. The painters were less than 12, I believe. The laborers had the most. They had over 150 women. And I think it's pretty much about the same. It hasn't doubled yet. Those that have 12 have maybe 20 pushing it, but they still don't have that many. It's still slow to get in, and for many reasons.
Yeah. Anita, you mentioned that you went to classical high school, but you've completed a lot of adult education programs. You know, your bio mentioned the graduate of the Women's Policy Institute. That's the Women's Fund, right? College Unbound, the Social Enterprise Greenhouse, and a women's entrepreneurial program over at Cornell University. Did you know at a young age that you wanted to be in the trades and not go to college?
No, I knew when I kept fighting the system at classical, the typing class started it, right?
That old typing class does it every time.
So I went to AOP to find something a little more non-traditional, and ended up at Job Corps and got my GED and my welding certificate, and thought I was going to be a welder and kick butt in welding and try to find a job. And even though I was certified overhead, everything that they would think you didn't know how to do, every time I interviewed, they would laugh when I told them what I did. And I brought them my training record, the TAR, everything, so they could see all the skills I've learned. And nope, I got hired as a metal polisher. The person that interviewed me looked at my resume, hired me as a metal polisher. The day I went to work, they tried to put me to inspecting with all the other women. I said, no, I'm here as a polisher to work on the machine. And I had to have a very spirited conversation with this foreman to let him know, yes, I know I'm a woman, but no, I'm supposed to be on the machines, not inspecting. And I did that for a little while, and then I ended up moving on. So I knew I liked working with my hands. It was just about finding my niche on where I wanted to be.
And it's being pretty committed to pushing through when people are saying, no, you can't do that.
Yes, absolutely. I know. Yes.
And I noticed the mission of the Rhode Island Women in the Trades is to educate, to organize, and to train more women to become tradeswomen, right? And your website says you're open to all women, unemployed, underdeployed, underemployed, single mothers, women of color, LGBTQ plus. You want everybody to enjoy the economic empowerment. So talk a little bit about the training programs. We're talking with Anita Bruno from the Rhode Island Women in the Trades. The website, by the way, is theriwitt.org. It stands for the Rhode Island Women in the Trades. That's theriwitt.org. So talk to us about the training programs that you offer women.
So we offer an 8-week pre-apprenticeship program where we take them through introduction to math, make sure we prepare them with safety through OSHA 30. Then we get into some hands-on carpenter practicality and blueprint reading. Then we get into electrical. They'll actually build a 4-foot by 8-foot wall. So in the carpenter's aspect, they'll do the blueprints, the layout, the framing. And then when the electricians come in, they'll teach them how to do a 3-way circuit switch on the wall. So they'll actually wire that wall. Pella Windows has donated windows, so we're able to show them how to frame and install a window now on that wall. And then they'll come, they'll drywall it. And then we have Tara Freeman, who owns her own construction company, Lady Luck Construction, shows them how to do the taping and the painting, sanding, cleans up the wall, and then do trim. So they'll do all that hands-on stuff. Then we'll bring them to the operating engineers, and they'll get to drive a backhoe in the lot, in the training facility, learn about the crane, learn about the lull. We bring them to the plumbers union. They get to cut and weld pipe and have conversations and learn that plumbers is not just the bathroom and the waters and the toilets, right? It's actually gases. And
so it's really an overview of all the trades in 8 weeks. It's not necessarily you're being trained to be a carpenter, you're being trained to be a plumber. So if a woman's interested, you know, she goes through this 8-week training program, maybe to figure out, to your point, where her niche is. But then how does she get started? What's the next step?
The next step is to find out which niche is best for her, what trade she wants to go into. And then we'll work with that local union to find out, well, we can look up online when the application process is, call if we have any questions on that, and then we help them through that process. If for any chance they don't want to go to an apprenticeship, they might just want to go to work. We're partnered also with Pawtucket Central Falls Community Development Corporation. We're in conversation now to partner with Rhode Island Energy, and we're partnered with the Black Contractors Association, that women may have another niche that they find and just want to go to work.
And how many different trades are there for women who are in, say, the construction industry? I think you mentioned.
So there's about 17, 18 building trades, but then you have to think about everything that goes into construction. That would be the trades, the building trades. But in the construction industry, it's also the office. So you have the safety, the superintendents, the project managers, the architects, the estimators, the engineers.
There's I would think you do a lot with OSHA too, OSHA training and math skills as well in the training program.
Yes, math is very important. Right. And I don't want to scare anybody away, but it's not as scary as it sounds.
No.
When you think about math, I try to break it down. You know, money is math, right? You want to make sure that when you go to the store, you're getting the right change back. But when you break things down in real life, like the Pythagorean theory, and I'm probably saying it wrong, but the 3.5 in geometry, we have to lay that out as carpenters on the ground to get a square. So when I'm squaring stuff off, I need to do that. And I can show you practically how to do it, and then it makes more sense to you. So that's a good way to think about math. But yeah, definitely need math in the trades.
What's the cost to attend the Rhode Island Women in the Trades program?
Right now, we're still in conversations with the board trying to figure out if we want to charge. We started as a support group and didn't want to create more barriers for women. But we got to the point where we started where we were providing tools, buying work boots, the work belts, everything that we could to start them off, and then realized that some women may have, they may have a couple of dollars, right? Not everybody has the same barriers. So right. If they could buy their own work boots, then we were doing that. Now we're thinking about maybe charging, because we found there are some women that want to come and learn the skills, but don't need a job. They just want to learn those skills. And so the capacity of doing a do-it-yourself. So right now it's free, but we're thinking about charging and then maybe creating a statement of need if you still need that, so that it's not a barrier. I'll be right
back. When you say it's an 8-week training, you know, to develop these skills, is it every night? How often do they have to show up, or is it once a week?
Every day for 5 days for 8 weeks.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And do you place, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, Anita, do you place women in jobs? They finish this 8-week training program with all of the things that you had talked about, you know, OSHA training, math, pipe fitting. Do you place them in jobs?
We work with them to help them get placed, but we do not personally place them.
Okay.
We have, we're working on direct entry with Rhode Island Energy, direct entry interview. We have direct entry interview with the Carpenters Training Center. But that's about the most, I think nationally, that any women's organization has. Even NEW has 15% direct entry interview in New York City with all of the trades.
And I would think with a lot of construction projects, having, you know, a minority enterprise is really important. So having women in the trades, and obviously if you're a woman, you mentioned the one woman, you know, what was it, Lucky Gal or Lucky Lady?
Lady, yes.
Lady Luck, that's it.
Lady Luck Construction.
Yeah, I think I've seen those trucks too, as a matter of fact. My guest is Anita Bruno. She's a 17-year union carpenter who organized the Rhode Island Women in the Trades. It's a 501c3. I'm Deborah Giro. Don't forget you can listen anytime to this podcast and all the others of amazing women in this state on your favorite audio streaming services, but also at the website, amazingwomenri.com. I mentioned before the mission of the Rhode Island Women in the Trades to educate, organize, train more women tradesmen. What are some of the biggest challenges of being a woman in the trades?
Oh, the biggest challenge. I want to say, so to be candid and not paint a funny picture, I'd like to say that if you work hard, or when you work hard, you're there every day, you show up on time, you do the work, it's less. But sometimes you still have certain people that still feel that you're not supposed to be there, even though you've earned your respect. If they cannot get over that, it creates barriers of lack of training opportunities. It creates barriers of uncomfortable situations. It creates barriers of lack of overtime opportunities. So those are the kind of barriers that women can face in the construction industry.
You're basically talking about the sexism, that it's such a non-traditional role that some men could be uncomfortable with it. I think earlier you alluded to some of those people.
Yes.
but you overcome it.
Yes, you know, and you just keep overcome it.
And there's probably also a lot of men that are really supportive too, because they know they have their daughters, they have nieces, and they want to make sure that their daughter gets an equal shot at something if she really wants to do something. What are the greatest rewards from this non-traditional career?
First and foremost, I would say the bragging rights.
The bragging rights. The fact that you can do it. Well, the fact that you can, you know, build walls and do all these switches and you're good with math skills. I think that's pretty impressive too.
I help build that. My kids are like, yeah, Mom, we know you help build that.
So the bragging rights, that's a great reward.
The money, once you learn financial literacy, what to do with it, how to save it, how to invest it. Because
it's a pretty lucrative career.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I like to always share that with my participants too. Took me a long time living paycheck to paycheck to be smart and savvy about money, right? And learn that you invest it, it goes further, right? So understanding that and trying to pass that on is why we end our class with financial literacy, understanding your credit and understanding a budget. And then knowing that you're going from, I mean, the public welfare system in Rhode Island was $528 a month for a family of two. So if some women are going from that to making $1,000 a week, you might be, you know, a little elaborate and try to buy everything that you didn't have or try to make up for lost times and learning how to, like, yeah, it's okay a little bit, but learning, you know, to save.
A little then, financial restraint and make sure you save, you know.
And responsibility.
How are you recruiting and educating young girls in high school about the trades and these career opportunities that, you know, you're providing Rhode Island women in the trades?
That's actually pretty dope because we gained two students. One was a junior at the Met and one was a senior at Providence Career and Tech through the schools, through presentations with high school. And now those schools want to meet to talk about what could that look like in the future going forward.
Wow. So you go to schools and you actually talk to some of the high school girls and say, here's an opportunity. It's very non-traditional. It's the trades, but it's an opportunity, you know, for you to really have some good employment in a fast-growing industry.
Absolutely. We actually talk to the boys and the girls, but we have organized just girls. We've done 11th and 12th grade girls in Pawtucket and Providence. But we do go to the schools and talk to all of the kids. Mm-hmm. And then most recently, we just did a seventh grade girls hands-on event. Mm-hmm. So we did 3 days, 10 girls each day in Pawtucket, and then one day, 20 girls in Providence at Del Sesto. And it was so much fun.
I bet.
One of the little girls, I got to share this, Deb, you'll love it. One of the young girls, she wanted to go to choir class. She was like, you know, making the faces, rolling the eyes, like I'm supposed to be in choir class. And the teacher that was kind of in the class there watching, she asked her, you know, well, what's so important about choir class? And the young girl said, you know, we're putting on a show for my parents. And I want to know the lines. And she said, you've been studying for weeks now. You know the lines. You're doing great. So she's trying to get out of the class that she had to sit here, right? The workshop. So about halfway through the workshop, they get their tools. They got these little tool bags, pink tools. And I said, you still want to go to choir class? She said, no.
See, it's the experience of hands-on and actually learning something. That's great. That's wonderful. So do you have a networking program so women can talk to each other about the challenges and benefits of being a Rhode Island woman in the trades?
Absolutely. We meet quarterly. It'll tell you on our website. Mm-hmm. And we also do not just networking for the women. We also bring in guests sometimes. Like we've done presentations with Federal OSHA, Federal Wage and Hour, Federal Department of Labor. We work closely with the Federal Women's Bureau.
Again, the website is the Rhode Island Women in the Trades. It's the RIWITT.org. And if you'd like a phone number, 484-1266. Thank you so much, Anita, for your work and encouraging more women and young girls to get into the trades. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you
so much. I end each show with a quote. And this one is from an iron worker, Fran Cross. Those of us in the trade see ourselves as a wedge in the door. We have to hold that door open so more women can come in behind us, right? It's what you do every day, Anita. Rosie the Riveter. Thanks for being here. I'm Deborah Giro. You can listen to the stories of other amazing women at the website, amazingwomenri.com, or stream them on your favorite streaming services. Thanks so much for joining us. Be kind and stay well.